I like was reading comics or something, and I was like rubbing my right eye, and I was trying to keep reading, and then like I like could, just I couldn't fucking see the words. I was like, oh no!
Have you been leaning on your right eye this whole time?
Yeah, dude, my right eye has been like just fucking doing all the heavy lifting,
carrying the team,
and like my gimpy fin is my left eye.
And the amount of pride he has when he tells people he has 20/20 and he doesn't know.
It's probably like a 2018, and that's a bad year. Not a good year.
I can see everything perfectly fine, except when I close one of my eyes. It's just unfair.
What if you like open a soda and then it like sprays into your right eye? What are you going to do then? Just kind of see?
Yeah, like I won't be able to find a towel or anything.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible.
You'd be like Velma.
We're going to get him a cute pair of glasses. That'd or contacts, cool. A cute pair of contacts.
I feel like you'd look good in glasses. Just get big ones.
I like hope that, but like every time we went to the eye doctor or whatever at like Costco with you guys, I was like trying on frames, you know, just because it was like fun. And just like none of them seemed to fit.
We have big heads.
I know.
So we need like wide ones. The rule is the frame needs to like go out to like your temple.
Do you have these in extra wide?
Yeah. I need extra wide for
I have
these.
An extra wide face.
Where's your extra wide section?
Yeah. Does this come in wide?
Yeah. Basically.
Like it's shoes or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Alrighty. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club, where we need to get rid of the dogs because they're too noisy. We read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure do.
Today, we got a very special guest, Nathan. We have my beautiful fiance, Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, everybody.
It's my birthday Sarah. Week, and what I wanted for my birthday was for her to come on the podcast.
Yeah, I read it, my first comic ever, and now we're going to discuss.
Sure, yes, but first,
our little book club.
We talk about the comic book news.
Yes, I know you're a big fan, Sarah, but for those that don't know, we have time codes in the description where we talk about different things rather than the book, like comic book news. And then the next section is the book that we read, and then the back matter of said book, and then other things that we've been watching and discussing. So we'll
in
start
the background, with... Daniel is getting the dogs to leave.
Yeah. So over to Daniel with the news. One time I was editing and Sophia heard that theme and it was like really loud, so I had to turn it down. She was like, "Is that your theme song? That's so cute." And I'm like, "You're so condescending."
It's very manly.
That's yeah. one of many theme songs. Thank
like,
you very
no,
much.
It's cool.
Yeah, no. That's a really good news theme song.
It really is. Too good for this show.
Made him a show.
Nathan.
What news do we have, Daniel?
You remember the DC Round Robin that has been happening?
Yes.
That we talked about just last week. I know you remember.
Uh-huh.
A tweet from Cy Spurrier recently. He said that the people who make the pitches for the books get paid for them.
That is good.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit better, I think.
DC has this like tournament where they just have like names of comics that could happen and their descriptions, mm-hmm. and then people just vote on them. And so these people that make up these like titles.
Can you imagine though, like you made something up and nobody votes for you, yeah, and you're just standing there in the crowd and you get zero votes.
That's why it's a little problematic. And then it's
and
also
it's got your name
like,
attached to it, right? Too, so everyone's like knows you're a loser.
It's just dangling, just
not
dang,
quite.
Just dangling a paycheck right in front of you, and then nobody damn. Votes for Wildcat, and you're like, fuck, man.
Yeah, so it's not like you're like fighting for a job or like, you know, oh, do you want to get paid? You better make a real good pitch or whatever.
A good pitch, you got to.
And so you do get paid for it, for making up the pitch and whatnot, which is good.
That is good. That makes it a little bit better.
Makes me feel better about the whole situation.
Yeah.
I'm still going to vote on things that I want, but.
But it's also kind of weird because it'll probably just be things that are already coming out. Because like last time it was like a Robin book because there was no Batman, but Robin's pretty close to Batman. So maybe Batman would be in that one. And this one in the top four is Suicide Squad.
Nice. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. Top four, Suicide Squad Dark, Green Lantern, The Light at the End of Forever is what it's called. So
too long.
Top four, let's go. Superboy, The Man of Tomorrow, and Constantine and the Demon, Vacation from Hell is top four. So yeah, put your votes in, I guess. Actually, no, the voting doesn't open up until like Tuesday or something. They're doing it really weird this week. But
today's Wednesday. You mean next
Tuesday?
Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
So
sounds good. Sounds good.
That's happening.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Sad news. Rest in peace to Gilbert Gottfried.
Mm-hmm.
A just to connect it to the podcast.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's play this game. He was he's done tons of voice acting. He's a legend in voice acting. He's been on Teen Titans Go. He was a character called the Coal Miner, and and he's played Mr. Mixoplick.
Oh, Mr. Mixes Pidalic?
Yeah, that one. He's played him for like 30 years, apparently, like since like the 90s.
You know, Sarah's raising her hand.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question.
What is your question?
Did he voice the parrot in Aladdin?
He sure did.
I knew it.
That's... In the new one or the old one?
No, the old one.
The cartoon.
Well, I don't know about the new one. I don't know.
Yeah, that's his...
That's a live action.
That's his most, like one of his more...
That's the only thing I know
roles.
Him from,
it's
I
his
would
famous
think.
Role? Okay, that makes sense.
He's
always like doing cameos and I'm like, why is he famous? I love his voice, but right. Why is he famous?
Was he in that one movie where like they were aliens and the only scene I can think of is them in a hot tub, but they were like loved the bubble gum?
They loved the bubble gum.
With Will Ferrell?
I don't know if Will Ferrell. It's an old movie. I don't think it's Land of the Lost. But it was from like our childhood, like early childhood. They were like alien. I think it is Paul.
Where Seth Rogen voiced the alien.
No, there wasn't like a... He was the alien. Gilbert Gottfried was the alien in the movie.
Was the alien. We'd have to look that up. I'm not sure.
It's a fantastic movie.
Really?
Look it up here.
Look it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
Gilbert Gottfried alien movie.
We need to know.
It's actually one of the best movies ever, but you can't take what I say seriously because I thought Tusk was one of the best movies ever.
That is a very jarring movie in a way that
makes
it a good
movie.
And
that's why I like it. It's got the humor, the romance.
Yeah, anything that can make somebody like cringe like on purpose or like cry on purpose is like a good movie, I feel like, because they get you engaged.
Makes my stomach churn.
Yeah.
Is it called Gilbert?
No.
Gilbert Gottfried had a voice make you laugh.
It's so old, too.
Smiling Friends. He played God. That's right. That sounds good.
Wow, he was working as soon as like...
Smiling Friends is that like Comedy Central one
that comes out in 2022. That man was working forever.
I thought that was Adult Swim. Aladdin. Yeah.
Is there any way to look up his IMDb?
Just, yeah, go to IMDb.
Jeez. There.
It would have been from like the 90s. It's an old movie.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
Oh, you know what? Gilbert Gottfried is not the guy I'm picturing in my head. He's not in this movie.
Oh my God.
I just saw the picture of him and it's not him.
Is he playing the alien? Like, or is he
it's
voicing
not him.
It?
It's not him. No, he's playing him. It's the guy who talks like him but is short and a little fat and balding.
Patton Oswalt.
I just like feel like everybody should be able to follow like what I'm thinking in my head.
Okay.
I don't think they can.
Email in if you know.
Gilbert Gottfried looks kind of tough in his IMDb picture.
Yeah, he looks hard as fuck.
Yeah, so it chose a good one.
You would not expect his voice to be what it is.
Yeah, that goofy man. I would think that his IMDb picture is a little bit goofier.
But
anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, that sucks.
Any news from you, Nathan?
Yes. There's a new team on Detective Comics.
That is true. Ram V, Raphael Albuquerque, and Dave Stewart.
Yeah, banger... artist team for sure.
The colorist on our book today
is he?
Yeah,
Dave Stewart. Oh, that's sick.
Back to back Dave Stewart weeks. Last week's too.
We love that.
I don't know how he's got all this time.
He's on everything.
I wonder how many pages you can knock out in a day just coloring. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did you guys see the Netflix logo on the back? Are they making this into a show?
Yeah. Netflix's first ever acquisition was a company called Miller World, and the writer is Mark Miller, and like he has his own imprint of comics, and Netflix acquired it because he makes so many good stories. And so he was making comics for Netflix for them to then make into other properties later.
I didn't mean to change the subject. I just saw that.
No, it's a good question.
Good question, yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Wanted with
James McAvoy
and Angelina Jolie?
And Morgan Freeman.
Is the one where they like...
I don't think so.
Curved the bullet? That was like a big thing
Matrix.
In the movie? No, okay. did you ever see Kick-Ass?
No, so I saw the previews of it. It didn't interest me, so I didn't see
so
it.
What about Kick-Ass 2? This is the writer of Kick-Ass. He wrote the comic that was based off of.
What else
of.
We got? Kingsman.
I saw the first Kingsman.
Yeah, he's the Kingsman writer. He did Civil War. He wrote Civil War. He wrote Old Man Logan, if you saw that Logan movie.
Is that one movie Sky High? Is that based off a comic? It looked like it would be.
No.
No, that's a Disney original.
They should
original.
Turn that into a comic.
I would read it.
I love high school superheroes.
That is like probably one of the one of the best superhero based things that's not based off of a comic book, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Hitchcock or Hitchcock? No, Hancock.
Hitchcock. I like Big Cock. Yeah, that's a good one. what else we got, Daniel?
Nathan, that's all the news.
Yeah, I don't know how much. DC's teasing a Batman thing with Elenium, which I think is an artist.
Illenium?
Illenium.
Like the EDM artist?
Are you familiar?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, something's coming out on the 22nd.
I'm not an EDM person.
This is just like the promo. It's just Batman and then Illenium's.
Dude, I don't know what they think they're going to accomplish with all these crossovers with things that are not comics.
Dude, they're fucking crazy. Like
they had like a
it's all about the exposure, baby.
They had a Batman Fortnite comic that you can read in Fortnite.
That was kind of cool. I think that was one of their better ones.
Do you guys play Fortnite?
No.
Did you get a Fortnite so you could read the comic book? What if it was different than any book that you've read before?
Did I get a Fortnite? It would be different than any
did
book
I get a
before.
Fortnite?
Honestly, I would play Fortnite again. They took away like building recently, which is like the main thing of that game.
That's like the only thing that sets it apart.
Yeah, but they want people to come back. So like, we took away building because we're crazy or whatever.
Did it work?
But yeah, when they did the comics, it like sold out faster than like any other comic that week because it had like a digital code that you could use in game to get mm-hmm. stuff. So people were like going to comic shops and like,
it's like the same thing as like buying those Mountain Dews that had the code on them, you know?
It works, doesn't it? Doesn't it move units, Daniel?
It sure does.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to
sure
do.
Sure does.
I think that's all the news I had actually.
Yeah, pretty slow news week.
Light week.
I don't have any news, guys. Thanks for asking.
I tell you this might have been last week news, but I think I forgot. Andrea Sorrentino is going to be on a Black Hammer book.
Fuck yeah, dude. What?
It's going to be in a anthology series named Chrono Weird and Little Andromeda, but it's going to be on Jeff's Substack.
Fuck. I knew it.
I knew there was a catch.
I'm like, wait, the one on Substack?
Actually, I got one more piece of news.
Okay, sweet.
DC Pride 2022. They have like a big anthology book with like LGBTQIA plus creators on it. And there's some pretty cool ones, but the I think one of the interesting ones is that Kevin Conroy is going to write a Batman story in that.
Yeah.
Is he gay or something?
I guess Batman? He's like one of the first openly gay people to voice Batman.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So that's cool. He's going to be now writing a comic.
That's cool. That'd be nice to read. He's been like voicing Batman for like 30 years.
Like in
in the animated series.
Cartoons?
Yeah,
the cartoons and stuff, the video games. Mm-hmm. A lot of the movies.
So are they going to write like a Batman comic where Batman is gay?
I don't
know.
That would be cool. I would read that.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's possible.
I haven't read it yet.
I feel like people would get really mad about that. I
don't
care.
There are gay characters
in the Batman universe.
In like the Batman family. Mm-hmm. Like one of the Robins is bisexual. And there is Batwoman who
Batman
is lesbian.
Batman asexual. I feel like that'd be more believable.
Definitely.
He kind of seemed
way
asexual.
More
what the fuck is... Can you turn that, Taylor?
Sorry.
There's some other good names on there. I won't go through them, but looks to be pretty cool.
Nice. All right. Should we get into it?
Yes.
I think we should start off with just a couple questions for Sarah.
I read it. I swear to God.
Actually, I know. You told me.
Real quick.
Okay.
Why are we reading this book again? Can you elaborate?
So it's my birthday.
It is your birthday. I have a thing for you. I meant to bring it up before, but now I'm bringing it up now.
It's not my birthday today. It's my birthday on Friday.
But this is your birthday podcast.
Are you not coming to his birthday party on Saturday?
No, I am, but I'm not giving you anything because I'm giving you this. Here you go.
Nathan's not coming to his brother's birthday party.
Oh my God.
They
it's
secretly
soft.
Feud off the podcast.
I got you a thing.
It's not a comic. Oh, sick. It's a Gideon Falls t-shirt. That's awesome. What size did you give me?
2X.
Oh my God, you know I like to be comfy. This is one of our favorite horror comics. We did an episode on it.
It is pretty spooky.
Yeah.
It's a very spooky shirt.
Are you getting him something else for Saturday to open?
I don't plan on it.
That'll be weird.
I'll wear this.
I'll kidding. Do something little if you want.
No, it's fine.
I'll do a $5 limit thing.
This is more.
That's perfect.
Okay, I appreciate it, man.
My job every time I have to give Daniel a present is to get him something so nerdy that nobody else could possibly give him that gift. So I'm like a Gideon Falls t-shirt.
No
I
way.
I literally bought it from the comic shop.
Like today?
Today. And that's like cool. Literally as I was buying it, I was like, hey, my brother comes in here and this is for him. So don't like tell him. But it was like, it's
and
not
also
Drew.
Don't sell it
yeah,
to him.
Drew wasn't even in there.
Yeah, Drew wasn't in there. Like literally I left and I saw you pull in and you like wave hi to me. I'm like, fuck, I should have told him. Because what if he's like, I just saw your brother. He bought the shirt.
And no.
I thought it would have ruined everything. I was really
that
in my
guy
own head
that
about
guy
it.
Didn't know us.
He
it's interesting
know us.
What your brain does when you're like paranoid.
I
you like
was so
jump
paranoid.
To something that like
I was like, I should have told him. Should've
I was ready for Drew to be guy. Like, oh, you just missed your brother. You know?
I know. That's what I thought. And
I saw him in the parking lot.
And then you would have been like, what did he buy? I need to know what he bought.
It's fun that you guys like go to the same place and you're so close with them that they know that you're brothers. You look pretty similar, but still.
I guess so, yeah.
You like had to figure it out. We never told him that.
We used to like go there together sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we've been going there for like 7 years. We both had like subscription boxes, so our names are on it. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of connect the dots.
Not to flame that guy that was there though. But there was literally like a guy that came in and he was like, "Do you have the Invisibles?" Which is like a fairly popular comic, I guess. And he's like, "No, we don't." And the guy was literally like, "I'm kind of like new to comics. Just give me like anything that you would like." And the guy crumbled. He was like, "I don't know if like what I read would be necessarily what you'd read. So I don't know what you would like." And I'm like, "Dude,
just go to the need to read pile.
There's a literal section in the store that's just like need to read."
I bet he reads some weird ass shit.
I don't know what that guy reads, but he came in and he was like, "I just read The Inkle," which is the Mobius.
Really?
Yeah. Which I haven't even read yet.
So a new reader read The Inkle and yeah. He's like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm into comics."
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like you have to like, but he like, know comics well to appreciate
that. I almost wanted to step in and be like, what are you looking for?
You should have. Yeah.
Give me a genre.
Yeah.
I fucking wish someone would ask me that.
It was literally a prime thing. Like this guy that like, works bitch, at a comic shop should have this ready for people that come in.
That's all I would do. Just unsolicited like recommendations.
Like if you think you're going to like a Zia Records or like any sort of record store and being like, "I think I like this rock album." And the guy's like, "I don't fucking know what to tell you, man.
I want some bangers. Can you recommend some?"
Like, it was so strange to me, but I don't know. I don't know him. I don't want to judge him too hard. If Drew did that, I would judge him super hard, but I think Drew's pretty good.
Drew, he'll tell you what is good and what he likes, like stuff that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I asked him about Wicked and Divine, mm-hmm. and apparently someone that used to work there put that on the need to read, so he has no idea if it's, like, good. Like,
oh, interesting.
So...
anyway, let's get into the book.
Let's get into it. All Sarah, right. How did you feel about like comic books as a medium?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So when I first started it, it's very confusing because they jump right into something as if they've built it up like in a regular novel, which sure. is I've read my whole life, where mm-hmm. they set the background, the scene, they describe everything, and then people start talking.
Yeah, that's boring.
Yeah, in comics, they kind of just throw you in and then you kind of gather the story along the way.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, and so I don't know if I'm necessarily a fan of that. I don't think it's bad. I think it's just new.
It's like getting to like the meat of it.
Yeah. And then they'll throw something, like it's in this one specifically, they'll throw something at you, like with a brand new character doing something on the side, and you're like, "Well, who the fuck is this guy?"
I did feel that a lot in this book.
I'm like, "Who the fuck is this?"
That I don't think
that's... Or like they'll go murder somebody random, right? And they'll be like, "Did you see that?" And you're like, "What the who? See what?"
It's like, yeah, I don't know. Literally like 4 pages I don't know in her. And someone gets like, murdered and you're like, okay. But to be fair, I think this book does not do a very good job at introducing people. It took me a while to figure out who's the kid of Daddy Moonstone in this book.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard to keep track of the characters in this as a seasoned reader.
Sure.
As well. So I don't think that was on you.
Sometimes you get the hang of it like at the end of the book.
Yeah.
You know, so where like a reread would be better. But then again, it's like,
it should be good.
You
on
were kind
of
just chucking along and you kind of knew everything you needed to know mm-hmm. to understand the ending. You
I
know?
Just felt like I had to persevere and that I had hoped that at the end I would understand. And I did.
Sometimes
like,
you got to do that. Yeah. I think it's good to approach it like watching a movie where sometimes mm-hmm. there's like a big moment and it's like, I don't understand that yet, but maybe I will later.
Yeah.
So it is definitely different from novels in that way.
But anyway, we read The Magic Order by Mark Miller, art by Oliver Coipel. Colors Dave Stewart, letter Peter Doherty.
Is it Olivier Coipel?
Olivier, probably.
Olivier
Coipel?
Dude, when did you add that eye?
Dude, that eye's been there the whole time.
Damn.
We've read books on this podcast with him in it.
Yeah, and probably a couple,
sure,
I think.
And I'm pretty sure we flubbed his name every time.
Fuck. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows the pronunciation, please email them.
Yes, please. Please email.
Traderspot at Gmail.
Olivier.
Olivier or Olivier?
Olivier. Olivier?
Nah, that's Olivier? Definitely not it.
Olivier.
Yeah. Coipel.
Maybe it's the silent I.
Coipel.
Coipel. I'm positive we have that part right.
I thought it was Coipel for a long time.
He just skipped all the I's in his name, Daniel.
Yeah, fuck that. It's Oliver Coipel.
Yeah, but this book, it's Harry Potter, but for adults. Or at least I think somebody pitched that to me that way.
This ain't your grandpappy's Harry Potter. This is a new shit.
I don't think this is necessarily Harry Potter, but for adults, because there's not a whole lot of Harry Potter concepts. There's just some ones.
The only thing they have in common is magic.
It's just magic.
Yeah, just some ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read the first issue of this when it came out because I was like, oh, a new Mark Miller thing. And then I think I picked up a couple issues and then just gave up on it. And here we are. And so
reading it in full.
So I was thinking like taking your feedback on things you didn't want to read, like superhero stuff. I wanted to not get anything that was too weird. Mm-hmm. We read a lot of that. And so it just seems like...
I'm into weird stuff.
Yeah. We'll show you some weird stuff.
I don't know.
If you could give her one book that we've read on this show to just scare her out of comics, what would it be? And why is it X-Ray her? Robot?
Maybe. I don't know. Saga is pretty weird.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I feel like you have to like weird to like that book.
No, I think that one's pretty
think
good.
Think about the first trade. Just like everything that happens.
Yeah, true.
Everything is dished out on you. Anyway.
It's a love story.
I thought this was solid.
Oh, that was overall good.
Yeah, it was a good time. Pretty dark imagery. Art was kick-ass.
Is all of like comic art slightly erotic?
No.
A lot of it can be really fun. Mm-hmm. Some can be really cartoony.
I don't know if it's like the darkness, but also there were some naked people.
There are. That's kind of more uncommon, I think, in comics to see naked people.
But there was. I didn't make that up, right?
No, there are naked people in this.
There's, yeah, okay. There is dick in this. And
well, I didn't
is,
see the dick. I only saw the boobies. But
oh, there are also boobies.
Yeah, so not all of it. Only like a fraction of it, like mm-hmm. the adult stuff. There are some.
Well, yeah, I didn't.
Like you won't see some titties in like a Spider-Man
like a
comic or a Batman. Oh, uh-huh. Sometimes. There's one comic. They have like a series of books called the Black Series. Mm-hmm.
The right? Black Label.
Black Label, the Black Label. And those are like, oh, these are characters, but for rated R, you know? Mm-hmm. And you see Batman's dick in the first issue of the Batman book, Batman Dan.
They wanted you to know they were serious.
And it got so crazy. Yeah, literally, it was the first like Black Label book. Mm-hmm. And it went like so crazy on the internet that they, when they reprinted it, they took the dick out. And if you bought it digitally, they took the dick out. So now that
because
edition,
people were in an uproar.
Right.
Not like an uproar, but I
like,
think they're making too
out.
Big of a
you
deal about it.
People are just
commit.
Really excited.
You got to commit yeah. to the dick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. yeah. So now like that version of that comic is like
okay. pretty I was just curious. Expensive. I didn't think all comics were like that, I guess, really, but
just the good
I don't
ones.
Know, just something about this one was slightly like erotic.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they gave this guy chest hair right here.
That's
some,
pretty cool.
Some though. Men have chest hair though.
Yeah.
And that's not erotic.
Actually, you know what, that I don't know if that's a tattoo or not. Anyway.
All right, issue 1.
Yeah. So basically this world there's a group of magicians called the Magic Order that secretly exists in the world, and their goal is to protect humanity from monsters, but we don't really see any of that in this book. It's kind of just like, that's what they're there for.
You see it for like a couple pages
and then it's just
to explain
like
it.
Magician drama the rest of the time.
It's because they got rid of all the monsters, Nathan.
Yeah, they did their job, and so they're like,
they
we gotta
like
make sure.
They a flashback, I think.
Yeah, they did.
There's
yeah.
a couple monsters, and I do enjoy them quite a
during
bit.
During World War II,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
And they got rid of them all, and now they're just protecting people from magic.
Now yes. they're just fighting each other.
Yeah, exactly. One of the magicians is murdering the rest, which is what our opening scene is. There's like a kid that gets magicked, and then he crawls up on the bed and stabs his dad, like, from under his chin and out the top of his head.
I know, that's a lot of force.
Pretty bold opening to just have a kid murder another grown man.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going for, like, the like, attention-grabbing kind of thing, and then they're yeah. like, okay, we did our scary thing, now we can do a bunch of exposition, almost.
Right.
But during the funeral of this magician, Madame Albany pops in, who's, like, accused of the murder by the main family, which is the Moonstone family.
Yeah, so there's like a bad group, you know, the evil guys.
They're the edgy group yeah. of the magic people. So
Madame Albany is like kind of scary, yeah. which I really appreciate. She's got this like leather mask thing that kind of reminded me of like a gimp suit.
It reminds me of Catwoman.
Like Maleficent.
Oh, I could see that too.
Yeah.
She's got
like
she gives Maleficent
holes.
Vibes for sure.
She did.
Because it's just like She comes in and she's like, oh, I wonder who murdered this guy. And everybody's like, we know it's you.
She's like, so sad.
What a big accusation that is, you know? So, yeah, that's Maleficent's the best way to put it. I think her design is, it reminds me of like Catwoman from
with
Batman 89. Yeah.
Yeah, 89.
Where it was
Michelle
just like,
Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. It was just like a leather suit that she was just like vacuumed into, basically.
Yeah.
So it was like skin tight. I do like her design a lot.
One of the dumb, well, not dumb. I mean, I didn't preferred this like look was like Daddy Moonstone. He had like this like musician top or magician,
he was a
top.
He was a magician
top hat, but like it's like the one that you pull like a rabbit out of. I don't know, it just looks so
he
like
is
cheesy
a show
to me.
Magician though,
he's trying to trap the muggles into thinking that he's actually a magician,
but there's like no magician on in like Vegas that wears this getup, you know what I mean? Everyone's all modern
also
now.
We don't know what time this was set in. If this was set in like the late 90s,
True. Yeah, there's no indication that
we have context.
Yeah. We don't have any context other than World War II. Actually, there might be context because I think it has like a year, how many years ago that was or something.
Well, I didn't want to do
it.
The
doesn't
math.
Matter.
But yeah.
That's the hat. That's a hat he likes.
Yeah, I think it looks good in that hat, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
I like how good that Olivier.
Mm-hmm. I say Oliver yes. for the pod, and then if we're wrong, someone can tell
I'm
us.
I'm going to say Olivier.
Let's all say the name, and then you guys can go in and cut it once we know the real name.
Yeah, that's you.
And then I'll just be like, Olivier.
like every time we say Olivier. But I like the way that, like, he's very detailed with, like, his facial shading. Mm-hmm. Like, outside, he's very good at, like, forming somebody's face with, like, cross-hatching.
Yeah.
And, like, really creates depth. So, like, Daddy Moonstone, you could tell that he has, like, crevices like in his face because he's like kind of I guess a little bit more heavier set than everybody else, and then with like some of the other people you can tell when their faces are like skinnier mm-hmm. because of the shading that he does. I just love the way that he does that.
What else has he done that we know?
He was in Avengers and X-Men. Hold on, it says at the end.
I think it's fun that you guys are calling him Daddy Moonstone
because what was his name?
Leonard. Yeah.
I did not pick up on that.
I swear
all.
To God, it's Leonard.
Like I can only remember like Reagan and like,
oh, he did House of M. Remember that book?
House of M. Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
He's done some Thor, Avengers versus X-Men. He was on.
Do you think he's like this is like his best like or most detailed kind of work as far as like faces and stuff?
Maybe.
Because I'm like, this looks great.
It's most important, I think, in this book because everybody knows what like Iron Man looks like.
Sure.
Everybody knows what like I don't know Thor looks like. So yeah,
with like a new property like this,
but
you
with
have
these
to, like,
people,
establish what they look like.
But with the Moonstone family. There's like two guys that look pretty similar because they're brothers. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like important to have some of that detail in there to distinct. Right. But I still think it's kind of hard to keep track of everybody.
Gotcha.
So Reagan Moonstone is like one of the brothers. He goes to talk to Gabriel, who's his brother, and he left magic to live a normal life when his daughter died. Mm-hmm. And Reagan is there to ask him to help in stopping Albany before she kills any more magicians. But Gabriel's like, nah, my daughter died. I'm sad now.
Right.
And then later, it happens again. Albany kills another magician in a changing spell is what it's called. So that's when like he was like helping somebody at like a bedside and then like the whole room just starts changing and then he just like ceases to exist.
Yeah, that was super trippy.
I thought that was a really cool scene. I was like, this would like, I feel like this would look cool like yeah. on screen or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing that, all that transpire.
Very like Doctor Strange or like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's that one with Leo DiCaprio?
That's exactly
Inception.
What
Inception.
Very
yeah.
Inception.
Yeah, very Inception.
See that. Because I was like, I was thinking we're going to see this guy later, but no, he just like...
He's gone.
He got zapped.
And there's like an innocent person in there too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy.
So there's this like assassin that Madame Albany is like doing all the killing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so like, who could do all this killing for the Magic Order? Because they're like the top dogs, I guess, or something.
Yeah. So,
and I kind of like this like design of the assassin.
He's got a sweet hat.
He's got a sweet pirate hat. that kind of throws me off, but it is like a cool like look. Yeah, it's very,
he looks sinister.
Very sinister.
He looks sinister and mysterious. Proper, you know, and those are the scariest villains.
I feel like the experience you guys have reading it like on your phones versus the comics is really different.
Absolutely. Because yeah. like
if it was easy to get all of them in like trade like mm-hmm. yours, I would.
I just picked that up because I knew you were going to need it mm-hmm. and they just happened to have it. So I just read it on my phone.
Yeah. I just mean the detail that you can see because I've seen the way that you look at it and it scrolls from tile. What are they called?
Not panels.
Panels to panel. And so you get to see more detail in the drawing because I'm not like holding it up to my face and looking at all the detail.
But you could.
Sure.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I'm but I'm like jumping. I'm trying to figure out which order I need to read the bubbles.
So it's kind of nice doing it panel to panel mm-hmm. because like it guides it for you and you can't just like skip ahead to yeah. look at what happens in case there's like some sort of spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's also kind
of I prefer
of
reading like the physical for sure.
Yeah. That's kind of like the interesting thing with comics is how they lead your eye. Cause I mean, with like simple pages, it's just like read top down and then left to right. But sometimes they get a little bit more crazy with like the layout. And so they have to use like the word bubbles to kind of like lead you into each panel.
I noticed that. I yeah. just noticed when you held it up to show kind of what he looked like. That it was like a very different experience than what yeah. I had with the paperback.
Yeah. There's a sweet quote from Stan Lee where he's just like, comics are like boobs. You want them to be real. You know, you want to hold them.
You want to look at them on a screen. You want to hold them in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Both will do.
Yeah. will do.
We see the squid monster that they fight. Like, these are apparently the monsters they're fighting, and they're fucking insane.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy.
Like the people are so tiny compared to the squid monster, and I'm like, I want to see a book with this. I want to see them fight these monsters.
It just killed like Cthulhu or something.
Yeah, something insane and huge.
Because the second trade of this is coming out right now.
Yeah,
I think it's just like it's all out.
I don't think it's been collected yet.
Yeah. This dude he will write like a 6-issue series like this, and then just like never come back to it.
Leaves it alone.
He's like the king of like of just like first trades, you know?
Yeah. Call him. He's like George R.R. Martin.
No. Why? George R.R. Martin makes a huge thing of like Game of Thrones. It's long and continuous.
But he hasn't finished Game of Thrones, has he?
No, but like Game of Thrones is like 7 books.
Oh, fair.
If the show like dropped it before he could drop it, that would almost ruin it for me too. I wouldn't want to then drop my own ending. I don't know.
Isn't that what's happening?
Because
the show ended before the book or before the.
No, the published books ended before, and there was no ending like published yet, and so they had to just like make the rest of the show based off of how
right.
he like explained it to them. So they went past the books, and I don't even think he like finished the series like in the books.
Right, I don't think I would either.
Yeah,
they already showed how it ended. Why would I finish it?
Well, yeah, do something else.
You know, that's what I'm getting at. Like, why would I go ahead and waste my time?
Because there's so much like background that's like completely left out. Mm. Like, you know, all the shit about like the Mad King and all like the different.
Yeah, and some people are still alive. Like, that weren't alive.
That's like told in like real time, and so like the shit that they even show you in the show is like a chunk of it.
Yeah.
What season are you guys on?
We finished it.
We finished it last week.
Oh my god, that's so much television.
Programs.
Yeah. So many programs.
We love our programs.
issue 2. We get a quick origin of Cordelia Moonstone, and she's like the escape artist daughter of Leonard Moonstone, Daddy Moonstone, as we call him.
Yep.
She got a weird origin.
Yeah. This is like...
It's a little out of pocket.
This is like unnecessarily vulgar.
Yeah. Like, so Cordelia's in her second trimester as a fetus, and she just goes into another person.
She's an escapologist, Nathan. She escaped her own abortion.
Yes.
And she went into the doctor... Into the doctor,
who then carried out.
But didn't they mention that she was then adopted, right?
She was then adopted.
So then how did her dad, was like, that's my kid, and just picked her up?
Because like, that's what I don't understand. They kind of this glossed placenta, over that. Like, floating around and go into the new woman.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, when you're all done here,
you think that,
let me get your name.
What I also don't understand is people aren't supposed to know about magic. And so when shit like that happens, what do they think?
They probably do the little, like, Men in Black thing with the... The flash or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They probably flash her real quick.
She said the lady that she went into, that she parasited off of, just kind of went into a deep depression, right? I think that's what they said.
So that's how they get rid of them? They just make people depressed?
Yeah.
That's valid.
They'll get rid of themselves.
Yeah.
I'm just exactly. Cut that.
So in the present, Daddy Moonstone calls for the Magic Order meeting. And so everybody shows up to the Moonstone Castle. And they're like, how do we stop this Albany person? Who's like causing chaos, and they find out it's because that she wants this dark spell book called the Orichalcum,
probably.
I think, and she's like, that should be mine, and so that's why she's like trying to overthrow the magic order. But
so,
I really enjoy like magic shit where they have to like walk through paintings, like it's that Super Mario game, and then like that's how they meet. I love
it's Super Mario.
I'm not a big magic guy, or like I don't really like Harry Potter that much, but when there's like things in the magic world where you have to like do that to like get into something secret, I think that shit's cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like Daddy Moonstone, he organized like sent invitations through the newspaper.
That was pretty cool too.
And then that's how like people found out that they needed where they needed to meet and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I thought the restaurant was cool where they're like suspended between space and time, so they'll be there at the same time as people from a different time and whatever, but they can't talk to them,
and
obviously
they can't do magic in there, it seems like, either.
Yeah,
it's like the John Wick area.
Yeah, the
Assassin's
Continental.
Area. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it seems like that. So Reagan and Cordelia investigate a break-in at some dude's house, and I guess he has like magic artifacts. That guy was a little bit weird. I was like, why does this guy have all this
stuff?
That
was when I first noticed the erotica.
There is, he's got like a porno mag for some reason, and it's like not important at all. He just like notices it while they're there, and he's like, oh, fuck.
He doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of Cordelia.
Yeah.
I think.
I like this little panel right here of her face. Like, I don't know what this face is. She's
He's very good at emoting people, but that one just... That reminds me of that one meme where, like, the guy's like... And he like looks the other way.
I have no clue.
That's exactly what I was thinking. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what, like Shrek when he's like,
kind of like yeah, that one. Like yeah. The Shrek. I like that one. And then we see Albany and her partner, the Venetian, murder more magic order people in like a bunch of different ways, basically. But that big guy that has all the artifacts, he's wearing a kick-ass shirt, Daniel. Did you notice?
Oh, deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut. Did you not notice that?
No, I wasn't looking for it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Even if I saw it, even looking at it now, I'm like, who is that? That looks more like that green guy that was on Peacemaker. What was his name? Judo Master.
Yeah. Kick-Ass is another one of Mark Miller's books. And so He's just pretty much like promoting it on this guy's shirt. That's what the guy looks like. That's pretty fun.
Must be the same universe, Nathan.
Yeah, must be. I think it's fun how creative they get in like killing people.
Yeah, like, they just took a Polaroid of this guy and he's like stuck in the Polaroid now.
Yeah, like it's Superman or whatever, where they get stuck in like that little frame. Razad and all them. And like the Superman movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that reminded me of.
I don't think I've ever seen those, actually.
The one I thought was crazy where he, like, kills the person that's sitting in the cab and it just, like, starts filling full of water and she can't get out.
Yeah,
that one was crazy. A fun one.
Yeah, like...
Why couldn't she use magic to get out of that? That didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Did she have her wand?
Do you really need the wand?
I guess in this context,
I assume that the Venetian would have been like, we should lock the door so that she can't get out.
But she could just whoopity-whoop and unlock the door with her magic.
She could
whoopity-whoop.
how are you supposed to whoopity-whoop if you can't? Speak and you're underwater.
I feel like magic isn't about like the wand and speaking. If like you're magical, you're magical. Like she's an escape artist, right? You think she just holds her wand like in her pocket and then just escapes real quick?
Maybe. True. Yeah, she could.
I guess.
Could you use a wand?
Well, she
in
was
space?
In the womb when she escaped.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she didn't have a little tiny wand.
It's about the whoop de whoop.
Because they're saying that magic is like genetic.
Yeah.
So it's not like you need this.
I'm
thing
sure that
to make
the assassin
work.
Had done something, so she couldn't use a spell to get out. I mean, yeah. That's what we can like reasonably assume. But like
you definitely got to suspend spell. Your disbelief and just kind of keep rolling with the punches. Yeah. You know?
Do they need the wands in Harry Potter?
No, not really. They're I mean, like, they're a helpful them? Medium for sure.
What's purpose do they serve? Does it like help focus it? Like, cause you're pointing it at somebody, so you want to go there?
It's like a helpful medium in the sense that, like, first of all, the wand chooses you, right? Because it's already got its own like magical properties to it.
You don't choose.
And
like,
then when
the
you
design?
Pick the one that works the best for you, then it just kind of enhances your powers. As far as I understand from reading the book and seeing the movies.
Gotcha.
Lot.
So you don't just need it to shoot a laser at somebody?
No. I mean, You also do need it to shoot the laser. I don't think you can shoot the laser from your palm.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Anyway, that's cool.
Yeah, so some cool killings, and then we're on to issue 3.
This one guy was just pulled into a mirror.
Yeah, I liked that too. He's looking in the mirror, and then the Venetian pulls up, and he's like, "What's up, dude?" And then
he's called the Venetian. That's a cool name.
That is a sick name.
Like the hotel in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's what they're based.
A lot of Vegas things. Yeah, we're gonna see a flamingo soon.
Yeah,
they're gonna go to a circus.
So issue 3, Reagan and Cortelia are investigating like magic goons to try and find Albany and where she's hiding, and this first guy just gets turned into a candle.
Where are we? Are we in issue 3 yet?
Issue 3, yeah.
Okay. Real quick, dude, her mask in this panel just kind of reminds me of, like, Midnighter.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Thank you for stopping that.
Yeah.
Thank you for stopping us for that. But yeah, this opening scene where they're, like, they're trying to, like, question random people to, like, get them to find the Albany location.
This cover makes me uncomfy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought it would have been way more sexy, this issue, because it seems like there would have been like a lot of people fucking in
this
issue based
off
that cover, but there's only 2 people fucking.
Yeah, and they're homeless.
This whole comic. Yeah. So that was fun. Daddy Moonstone tries to convince Gabriel to like help them out again, but Gabriel's like, my daughter's still dead and I'm still sad, so I can't do it.
But it makes sense.
It does make sense, because we find out that he's like partly responsible for his daughter's death, which is why he chose to step away from magic.
It's kind of like an unlocked like gun in the house kind of situation.
Yeah.
His kid was just playing the wand. And
then bada bing, bada boom.
Yep. We find out she like electrocutes herself, basically.
Is that it?
That's what happened, okay. I think. She like swung it around, and I guess that motion that she did brought electricity down on herself, and then she died. And that's what I got from it, at least.
Okay.
And then we find out Albany is hiding in secret, and she says that she wants the spell book just to prove them wrong. And that she is trustworthy, which seems very petty to like, want to kill everybody to be like, I'm right.
Yeah, she like just feels like she needs to be in control of the magic order. Like,
yeah,
it's like a birthright kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
the person
like she doesn't seem that evil because of what she says, you know?
Yeah.
But she is killing a lot of people. So
it's definitely the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like write a little have essay or report or something and be like, here's why I deserve the work outcome.
Make a little PowerPoint.
It's not going to work likely, but at least, you know, you're not killing people. And
have like a campaign, get people on your side kind of thing.
Have a vote. Like an election.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Magic Order has some order behind it.
Election.
Seems like a hierarchy.
Just overthrow the Magic Order government.
Yeah.
That's all I need to do.
Can't have fake votes that way.
I like how they talk about the Orichalcum, and they're like, it like sank Atlantis. This shit's crazy. Or it's like, it started two world wars. And it's like, this is obviously...
I'm like, you sure did.
Yep. 100%. And then Albany's minion, the Venetian, ambushes Daddy Moonstone, and they have a magic fight.
During a performance.
But he's nice enough to let the people leave first. And then Daddy Moonstone dies. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It was a bloody death.
He just like slices
his
arm off.
It was so bloody. What made it so bloody? Because
it
like,
was Invincible-esque.
This last page is just like they're standing in a pool of blood.
Yeah.
And it's not even like they're in like a small room. It was like on a stage. So there's like definitely a lot of blood there.
And she's like, yeah, he's definitely dead. She went to check it out.
I can't confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every like no death in this is like subtle. Like everyone gets like fucking sliced.
They get ripped
in half.
Like,
which is
pretty
wind
often.
Essentially.
I like how they start off with like the Harry Potter like shoot lasers at each other and they meet in the middle.
Yeah, and it's like who's got a stronger zap?
Let me just do this a little bit more and maybe the middle will go towards
just
them.
Just like point a little bit further than the other guy.
Yeah, how does that work? Is it like a willpower kind of thing?
I think it's just like natural power.
Yeah, it's like whose magic is stronger, I guess. In Harry Potter anyway.
Is it like do you need to have good stamina for that? Like does it take
good
a toll on you?
For sure, you know, like
yeah.
I mean, you don't really see any people that are like completely out of shape in Harry Potter trying to do that.
Oh,
so
fair.
I don't know if it's a stamina thing.
Yeah,
I couldn't
be physically
say.
Fit
I think it must
be.
Well.
You know what, though? Dumbledore is old as shit, and his was really strong. So maybe it's not necessarily like physical stamina.
That's fair.
Wisdom, perhaps.
That man was like 200 years old.
Yeah, true. True. That's a good point.
Thank you.
So who knows what it is?
Not me.
Issue 4, Reagan and Cordelia are sad about their dad dying, and they're like, we can't stop Albany, so we need to figure something out. And so Uncle Edgar, who's like just the old guy that sits in Moonstone's castle, he's like, we should try a peace offering. So Albany meets with them at that non-magic magicians only restaurant. And she's like, no, I'm not going to stop until I wipe out everybody kind of deal. And so they're like, fuck, that sucks.
But only to show them how good she really is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Prove a point. So she's a bit petty. I like how fierce her eyes are. Like, there's a couple panels where, like, her pupils specifically are, like, super small and it looks very sinister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this like is where she looks, like, really scary.
Yeah, like, they do a really good job with coloring, like, I guess, her eyes. And for some reason, them being, like, not completely white, but, like, super pale to where it almost looks like they're completely white makes it look very scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So Albany goes to attack Gabriel by using a creature called the Horologium.
Yes.
And he's like a big sand looking monster guy, but they kind of tease it throughout the book, but it's a monster that can like eat time. And when he was originally captured, I guess he like aged the people like decades to just like catch him in a bottle. So that guy's going after Gabriel now, who has to stop it and he has to like protect his wife. And he uses like a time spell to freeze it in place for 60 seconds and then puts it in a bottle. And then Reagan and Cordelia show up and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I did it already. And he's like, let's go stop Albany because now he's going after my family.
Right.
And that's pretty much that issue. But I like the design of the Horologium, but I wish...
It's just a big shadow.
But I wish like us seeing Gabriel fight him wasn't just him jumping into like a big tornado or like a big cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's shown as like this big monster made of like sand or something. And then when he goes to fight him, it's like we don't even really see that. So
yeah.
And then he's like, he's mostly running like for a majority of the issue.
I like when he goes back to his house, he like does a big jump. And I'm like, I didn't expect that. I didn't know he could just do a big jump like that. So, but yeah, it's pretty clear that Gabriel's like pretty good at what he does. So that's why they like need him.
Yeah. I remember Daddy Moonstone was saying that he was like the most like gifted and like talented. And he was like kind of next up to take over the Magic Order because he was just better at it than other people. He was a lot stronger, things like that. So definitely a top dog.
I like the way that they introduce this creature because there's like a little girl standing in the street and then she like ages until she's like super old and then eventually like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal.
for a second because you see her from the back. You think, oh my God, is that his daughter? And like, not that somebody brought his daughter back, but there was something sinister about it. And yeah, then she turns like, around.
Why is there a little girl in just like the middle of the street? But yeah, we see her like go to like little girl to just like maybe high school to like adult and then like old lady and then skeleton in like a couple panels. So
yeah,
that's a pretty cool scene. And I also like that when they throw out things like a time spell where he like freezes time, it has like limits on it to where like you only freeze time for like 60 seconds. So you got to do whatever you're going to do pretty quick. Because what I don't like about magic is there always seems to be some sort of like reset button or something that you can do to like make everything better.
Yeah. Or just like the spell that saves the day.
Nothing
or
is like final.
Yeah,
magic.
That's what it seems like. And that does end up happening in this book, which makes me angry. But there seems to be like spells that have like their limits like that, which is I think a hard line to follow. But issue 5, Gabriel takes his wife to the Moonstone Castle to like protect her, and then the Moonstone family go to find Albany's location and they just like torture her gatekeeper. So they just like find this dude that's like associated with Albany and they do like the most insane shit to him to find out Albany's location.
I liked that though.
Was really cool,
you
though.
Know what they showed that they could do.
Like
good torture.
I think one of my favorite like magic things in this book is just trapping somebody in like an actual like book
and then leaving there and knowing how long that book goes on for.
Yeah, like this gatekeeper dude gets stuck basically in like Castaway with Tom Hanks, but for like 15 years. And so when they go back to get him, he's got like his huge beard and he's like super like sun-kissed and everything.
Yeah.
And then he's like, please just take me back, I'll tell you. And then when he does tell him, he like
They
bring
kill
him
anyway.
Like, yeah, they bring him like fucking Frankenstein universe and he just gets operated on. So this guy really got fucking, he got the worst of
I
it.
I know.
At least Albany at the end got ripped in half. This dude had to like be
he
tortured.
Suffered for decades.
Yeah, decades.
Because they weren't gonna just like let him off easy. Like they,
no,
why not?
But like why'd they leave him for 70 years?
They did warn him.
Like they could have come back after 5 and that guy would have spilled his guts.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like
maybe one.
A month maybe.
A month maybe.
A solid week?
Yeah, but like true. 15 years is like insane. Like it starts so tame, they like make him do a car flip or whatever. Like his car flips over and then they like wind back time and they're like, I'll do that again.
Yeah.
And then it goes to spend 15 years trying to survive on an island.
Yeah.
It's insane. They go to Albany's castle and they have to like share their worst memory to get in. And they all have very different levels of worst memory.
Yeah.
Some guy got caught jerking off.
Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. To Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Reagan got caught jerking off. Cordelia's like, when dad said that mom was leaving. And then Gabriel comes in. And he's like, my daughter died, bitches. I got out the worst.
Yeah.
So, but when they confront Albany, Gabriel double crosses and kills Reagan. And then it's revealed that he was working with Albany the whole time. And he's the Venetian. And his goal is to basically use the Orichalcum to bring back his dead daughter. Because that's one of the dark magic spells or whatever that you can't access. So he found it more worth it to kill his whole family just to get his daughter back.
Yeah.
It's less devastating.
Then when you think back to when he fought the time monster, like, did he even fight it or was this pre-planned? Because it made him look so tough. Like, they need him. But, you know.
I think it was pre-planned.
I didn't think about that till he brought up the monster in that fight.
And
again.
It's a sick twist because I didn't expect that because he literally just turns around and like blows off Reagan's head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what spell
His
is that?
His brother's head. Yeah, I know.
What spell is that? Does it shoot something or does it just make something explode? I don't know.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, he didn't. He probably like twisted it in a certain way. But
because like there was no like hints that was going to happen.
I disagree.
And I really didn't think because he just seems so out of it and let alone like being an assassin helping to take over the magic order.
I think there were hints because
like what?
In the very beginning at the funeral, Albany's like, you could just bring back the dead to like the first magician that died.
Okay.
And then it's explained that like that's a dark spell, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the Orichalcum has all the dark spells, and then Gabriel's like, my daughter died, I wish I could have her back. So I think like they did really good at giving us the hints to where like you could like
I don't know, because that's stuff that anybody would say, right?
Yeah, it would. It would be.
I don't know.
I thought it, when I was thinking back on it, I'm like, that, this
I mean,
all
the
makes
fact
sense.
That he didn't go to the funeral of the person he murdered makes sense.
Yeah, true.
Adds
he wasn't
up.
There.
It adds up.
It does add up.
I mean,
why would you?
Yeah.
But the way explained it was like, I don't do this magic stuff anymore. So that was like a good cover up too. So
true. I'm just like so gullible when it comes to things. Like I don't look for the ending, you know, I'm just reading it.
You're just there for the ride.
Yeah. And like, even if it is obvious, I'm still like, whoa. Yeah, like, I too. Try to experience it the way, like, they want people to experience
You're
it.
You're like a little kid. At,
yeah,
like,
I'm just like, ooh, look at these colors.
I do like to try to find out the ending, but I didn't think that the comic was going to pull a fast one on me.
I only do that when there's, like...
Did they get you?
Yeah, they were pulled a sneaky one.
Yeah, they did pull a sneaky one. I only try sneak to figure out... There. Yeah. I only try to figure out the ending if there's, like, a clear mystery here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think that they were trying to, like, get us to guess who the Venetian was.
No, I mean, like, I thought it was a hired gun. Like,
yeah, I'm like, this is just a guy.
He's an assassin.
I didn't think there'd be like
if
any
if it's
kind
like
of
a whodunit story, I'm guessing every page. I'm changing my answer all the
time. Taking notes.
They didn't even care like who it was because of how like powerful he was. Mm-hmm. They were just like, we gotta stop him kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, Gabriel's wife, who's in Moonstone's castle, is actually Albany's shapeshifter dude.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But what I don't understand is like what Luis is doing. His Gabriel's wife.
Yeah.
She's like at a diner. And I think she knows what's going on, but she doesn't seem very involved.
Well, she's not magician.
Magic.
She's not magic.
No.
But like at the end, when everything's resolved, they put her in a book. And I'm like, she didn't do much.
Well, she knew, and she like supported
his decision. They put her in Crime and Punishment.
Yeah. Is that like a for real book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I don't know that? What it's about, but. Yeah.
Well.
It's about crime and punishment.
That's what I would
she's
guess.
She's going to get punished, you know. Yeah. Because like, I think it's an accessory kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, she was a willing participant of him to do it. I mean, she didn't really do anything herself. But.
It's like knowing about a crime and then not doing anything about it.
It's like, Daniel, I'm going to go murder this person, and he just sits and waits for me to come home but doesn't tell on me.
Yeah, I could face charges for that.
But, like, the entire book, he was, like, keeping stuff from her, it seemed like. Even when they were, like, alone. Mm-hmm. Like, remember when he was, like, sitting in the car talking to Daddy Moonstone?
Yeah.
And then later, the wife comes up and was like, I just mowed the lawn or whatever. And he's like... I just got to do something in here. Like, it seems like he's purposefully keeping
weird.
Things from her.
I think that's what you wanted us to think. Because, like, she originally...
Well, he doesn't know
he's
in a comic book.
That's what... Maybe. Maybe that's how it was written. Because, like, we thought he was out of magic and she didn't want him involved because their daughter died because mm-hmm. of this.
But if they're alone, he'd be like, I just tricked my dad.
I mean,
like,
yeah, if we're cutting deep here, if we're really digging into it, maybe he didn't tell her because then she would feel bad about what they're planning to do.
Maybe he brought it up like
on the day.
Yeah, almost before it happened. Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. That sounds good to me. I want my daughter back.
True.
That's fair.
I don't know.
That's
they're not going to.
It's not that important.
He had
but I was
already
just confused,
killed somebody so. At that point.
Yeah, yeah. You're reading too much into it.
Yeah, issue six, we're then.
That's what Mark Miller would say to you right now.
I would love to talk to him. So Cordelia is like the last one alive and she's like cornered and she's about to be killed by Gabriel to be sacrificed for his daughter. But what they don't know is that Cordelia, since she's like a little rebellious child, mm-hmm. has already read the entire Orichalcum. So she uses those dark spells to bring back everybody that was assassinated.
Yeah, they pulled two fast ones on you.
Yeah.
At the end there.
I did like that twist. I'm like, that makes sense because they bring her up as like this rebel or like doesn't
she's
follow the rules.
She's a very angsty person.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of like when people die in books because so, it was very because that this takes away like the shocking bit of like his brother of Reagan like being like his head blown off.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, because if you can just be like, oh, here they are again.
Yeah, that's what I
that
didn't
just
like,
makes it like less fun, I guess.
Maybe like make it super hard to bring somebody back, so you can only bring back like. Two people.
You do have to sacrifice people
well, then,
in order to get
yeah,
them back.
Yeah, I guess they sacrifice the people that
but they just kill random
kill
people
so.
That I don't care about.
And
yeah. like
the second
sacrifice,
trade
so.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that much stakes because like
just bring anybody
just
back.
Bring them back.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's crazy. And then meanwhile, Uncle Edgar at the Moonstone Castle, he
Dude
just goes
crazy.
He goes full fucking anime power. Like he didn't like I don't know. I guess the thing is like he was too powerful to be outside, which is why he stays in Moonstone Castle. Or
we didn't know that. We just thought he was the guy who. Didn't
but
want
yeah.
to go outside.
He just fucking made that dude blow up. He didn't move his hands or anything.
Oh, he just painted the walls with this dude.
Yeah, unless he had the wand in his pocket, like you said, and he just did like
I
a
just,
little...
I don't think that's what it requires.
I think so. I'm just going to have that in my head the whole time.
Yeah.
He's just like a little old man with a little
they
dragon.
They keep the world from him, you know?
Yeah. There's a line in here where Gabriel's like, I'd have murdered you all 100 times if it meant bringing back my daughter. And I'm like...
Cuts deep.
That's a little out of pocket. Like,
oh!
Murder them one time. You know, that's enough. But he's like... He's like, I would have done it 100 times. Like, that's so...
And I'd do it again.
That's unhinged.
Yeah, that is a little...
Who's that uncle... What's the uncle dude's name?
Edgar. Uncle Edgar.
Oh, I kept thinking Edison. Yeah,
uncle
it's Edgar.
Edgar. Yeah, I like the bit where he's like, there'd be, like, more stars in the sky if it wasn't for me kind of thing.
That's hard.
Shit like that. Yeah, it's hard as fuck. He's like, I've killed millions.
I like his little dragon. I don't know why he's there, but he's got a little dragon, and that's his
And he
pet.
Talks to it, yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that. that was somewhere in the beginning of the whole book, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, why is there a dragon?
Yeah.
So yeah, all the magicians are back and they all attack, and Daddy Moonstone fights and kills Albany with like his magic whips.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gabriel's like still going crazy because he wants his daughter back. And Cordelia realizes that he won't stop until his daughter's back. So she offers to bring back his daughter herself, but sacrificing Gabriel to do it.
Right.
So she's like, I'll bring back your daughter, but you die. You be the sacrifice. Mm. And Gabriel's like, that seems fair. And so Cordelia does it, kills Gabriel, brings back his daughter. And
imprisons his mother.
Then imprisons the mother. I'm so like, it's what? Like,
and then like Reagan raises like the daughter. What's her name?
And it turns out Reagan is gay, which I thought was very nice, like progressive.
Where's
like,
that?
I don't know how progressive comic books are. I have no idea, but I thought it was cool that they added that in.
It's pretty progressive element, medium, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, because they were talking about like how
his husband or his boyfriend,
how is
in one of the scenes,
how he didn't reveal who he was jerking off to in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's funny.
There's another part too.
What was the other part?
There's a part where he's talking about a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think I did. Yeah.
Yeah,
I did,
it's easy to just kind of glance over, but it's nice that they just drop that in the bucket.
That
you
is
know?
Cool. Yeah. I feel like comics are a pretty progressive medium.
That's yeah,
cool.
I think it's just like it's more fun to have like a diverse cast mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like being able to have people.
Comics
more
are really
memorable.
Diverse too.
Super.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is, I don't know if I just was at the end of it and I just wanted to be finished with it, but I just like noticed so much like kind of cringy dialogue. I'm like, this doesn't need to be in here. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you just need to get past that, I think.
Like when Gabriel's going like ape shit, he's like, someone says, he just wants to kill everybody. Like, I'm like, why is that in there? Like,
oh, okay, now I know what he's trying to
cars do. Cars are flying around. Like, he's gonna cause harm. You know, it's just like, you know, you want for there to be like a flow to the pages and stuff like that. And when there's just this like little bubble that really doesn't add anything to what's going on. Mm. It's just explaining what's happening when you already know what's happening. It's just like he's annoying to me.
He's in the air and he's got electricity all around him. And just like a bubble comes out from under. It's like he just wants to kill everybody.
Just somebody in the crowd saying it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's like that Godzilla scene where it's like, ah, it's Godzilla. Like, obviously.
Yeah, we see
we
see Godzilla.
We don't need that. But I like this panel where he does get sacrificed, and you're like, it seems like he's walking into like death, and then like Rosetta, his daughter's like walking out,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "What's up?" But like they just like pass by each other. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
kind of a neat scene. But in reality, his face is just super burnt. So who knows what happened there? But to end it, Cordelia basically just takes over the Magic Order, and also the Moonstone.
She was voted in
unanimously, which is
unanimously,
nice. And she also takes over the magic shows.
Yeah. So, Because Daddy Moonstone wants to go find Mommy Moonstone.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
So that's probably
to make things right.
That's probably part of the sequel then.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I think a prequel would be nice. If you guys were interested in seeing the monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Like a World War II prequel.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. This dude loves doing like the whole like
Star Wars
thing where he'd like would start in the middle and then a sequel and then go and do like the prequels then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like those Jupiter's.
You know Jupiter's Legacy, the comics you got me for Christmas?
Yeah.
He wrote these.
I did. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And that's one of the ones where Star Wars is, where he's like, middle, prequel, and then sequel.
Because like he even had like the trades like renumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking confusing.
Super fucking that's confusing.
Funny. I kind of get the whole thing though, because you push someone to a story, right?
Yeah.
And then they get really into it, but they have this buildup in the story about something that happened before. So you want to know what happened before.
Yeah. It is good to like.
But then you want to go back to see like what happened after the
You
original.
Could just make it clear like, hey, this is a prequel. You know what I mean?
It is good to spark your interest though. Because like in this, they're like, we fight monsters, but there's no monsters in here. So it's like, I want to know what happened to the monsters. How many monsters were there?
Yeah. I'm honestly more interested in that than what happens after this. Like, I don't really care about Gabriel's daughter, to be honest.
Me neither.
She wasn't in the book. I don't know her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who's this?
I want to see the wife come back and be like, you guys trapped me in a book.
That would
cool.
be very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll... Yeah, I guess that...
She's like, I don't even know what's happening.
She was,
that could be a cool villain origin story.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
But she doesn't have any magic,
but
so...
But I feel like a prequel of this would also be cool, because we'd probably see like Albany grow up and be like, oh, I can't wait to read that dark book.
So who is Albany? Why does she feel like she...
She's their cousin. Her dad was in charge. And when her dad died, instead of leaving stuff to her because she's nuts...
Okay.
To her cousin.
Gotcha.
She's so smart, Sarah. You pick up on a lot of things.
Did you know that?
BBS,
yeah, I did know
baby.
That.
Oh, okay.
I did know that, like, the Magic Order is, like, kind of, like, a couple families, it seems like.
Yeah.
And so when she was, like,
It's not much so much of a community.
Yeah, it's not like just random people randomly get magic powers.
It's just
like
Game of Thrones.
It really is.
Everyone wants the throne.
It's kind of just that.
With less incest.
The book is the Iron Throne, yeah.
So
that's almost no incest here.
That's the book. So we're going to go into some back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
I don't know what that is.
So, Sarah, back matter is a thing that only trades have.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of trades being like they compile all the individual issues that normally come out month to month. On top of that, they make it cheaper than the individual price issues. And they normally will put stuff in the back that's just like extra content about the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called back matter.
Okay.
And so we have this segment called Back Matter Matters because if you're buying a trade, you want to see some cool back matter.
And it matters.
And it matters.
Sure does.
So it starts with the
character creator bios.
Yeah, and Mark Miller, I think, kind of has the same one between all of them because he's done like Superman, and he did The Ultimates, which is selected by Time Magazine as the comic book of the decade. And he's also got Marvel's two biggest selling graphic novels, which are Civil War and Old Man Logan. Yep. So it's just like that part's just a big flex for him.
You can just talk. You don't have to raise your hand.
No, well, we're going to get to it. So I changed my mind, and that's why I put my hand back down.
Okay. We see Olivier Coipel. Apparently, he started with Legion of Superheroes, which is interesting.
Now we're here. He's a French comic book artist, which leads me to believe it's Olivier.
Okay. Olivier
Coipel.
He's probably still
annoyed.
Probably
Coipel.
Because he's mainly in like American comics, and so I'm sure that everybody that ever refers to him, and he's like, this guy's art is so good, or like,
Olivier.
I love Oliver Coipel. So... But he was on Avengers with Geoff Johns, apparently, which is cool.
Okay, cool.
House of M, Thor. He did Unworthy Thor, which is like...
Oh, nice.
One of my favorite stories ever, but we can't read it here because it's like very continuity-based, but it's sick.
Hey, we'll just... I mean...
I could just fill you in.
Yeah.
But it's sick.
He's not
worthy
anymore.
He fights the Black Order and shit. It's awesome. Peter Doherty is the colorist... Or was... No, Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart's colors.
Yeah, Dave Stewart's the colors.
Peter Doherty is a letterer.
And he did some stuff, and then there's other people. We don't really care.
Dang. Wow.
They did a great job.
They matter. Back matter matters.
They do matter.
They're editors or something.
Yeah, editors or designers.
No, that last girl works for Netflix.
Maybe she just kind of was like a producer almost.
She does Kick-Ass 3 or whatever.
For Rachel Fulton, the last paragraph says, she tweets about feminism, comics, and cats from the handle at Rachel Fulton. So go follow her. Mm. That sounds great.
Yeah, go follow her.
Yeah.
So after the creator bios, there's character designs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorites, just to see how the design progresses from like early conception to like what they land on.
Like, look at all the things for the Venetian.
The Venetian went through a couple different trials.
Yeah. Why did they make his crotch glow?
I don't know.
You got that magic
dick? I think
that's
the end of his wand.
That's the end of his wand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or the end of his duke.
But it looks like he has a doily on for like half of these designs or most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does he have a doily on in the end?
I think it's less doily.
It's not as doily-y.
Yeah.
But
it's more like just the top part.
Some of the designs were by the Netflix team, which is interesting.
Huh.
So Uncle Edgar was from our in-house production Bible by Eve May Roman, based on designs by the Netflix team is what it says. So I think that's interesting.
Okay.
What's really cool is that they had a sweepstakes for this book to celebrate the launch of the Magic Order. Netflix hosted a one-of-a-kind event allowing fans to enter a sweepstakes through a Facebook augmented reality experience. And a winner of the sweepstakes was actually drawn into the book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's sick.
So he's in the last issue, but like this dude, Caleb L, was like in this book and is in this book for forever. He doesn't have any dialogue or anything, but he looks pretty cool.
He looks pretty swaggy.
Yeah, he does. And then we get variants. So
when like an issue comes out, there'll be like the normal cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then just for like fun, they'll have just like other artists do a cover.
What the cover could have been.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's also, they sell the other covers too.
Oh, okay.
And then some of them are...
Because sometimes, like...
...are rare than others. Like, they print less
like the one on the front of this one, mm-hmm, of the trade, that was the issue one cover. But you could have also had something like this, if you like this artist. This is an artist named Adam Hughes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a...
Oh, nice.
There's a couple cool ones. Rafael Grampa is a crazy artist.
Grampa?
I think it's Grampa or something like that. Because he's, like, from... somewhere else.
He's not from Arizona.
He's not from our specific East Valley, Arizona.
Yeah, this is
cool. He's a great artist. But yeah, just a couple variants.
Carl Kerschel.
And then it plugs other Mark Miller books because they're now owned by Netflix. So Netflix is like, read these books too.
Oh, the many things.
How many of these have you read, Daniel?
Please. Let's see here. I've read Empress. I've read MPH, Jupiter's Legacy. I've read Super Crooks. I've read Reborn. And so that's like,
I've read more Mark Miller than you.
No.
I've read Empress. I've read Huck. I've read Chrononauts, Jupiter's Legacy.
Is this his complete collection?
Reborn?
No, some of them are missing.
Oh, I think we've read the same.
Yeah, it's like just different things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's the book. Sarah, we have a rating system.
Uh-huh.
We don't do like 5 out of 5 stars or anything like that. We relate it to food.
Okay.
And specifically the different sizes, the different names for sizes for food.
Mm-hmm.
So one we go to is Cold Stone. It's like, I like it, love it, or gotta have it.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe like a Starbucks Grande or a Venti. And then just kind of like relate that to how much you like the book.
Right.
Because obviously if you're reading it or if you're listening to us talk about it, you kind of get the general how much we like it.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I don't know, come up with some food related.
I'm going to go In-N-Out.
Okay.
Protein style is I like it. Okay. It's all right.
Nice.
Cheeseburger, single patty.
Love that.
You know, it's good.
Single, okay.
And then a double-double animal style.
You just, wait, you said single patty and a double-double?
Well, this is how it goes. So there's protein style, which is like bare bones.
Oh, that's your ranking system.
Then you've got with the bread, and then you've got two patties, and then you could even go animal style.
We've never had this.
Yeah, it's
animal style,
so
like
what
top
you,
tier, S tier.
Top tier.
So what do you rate it then?
Cheeseburger.
Okay.
Nice. Cheeseburger, no, not animal style, just
grilled
cheeseburger.
Onions?
I do fuck with grilled onions.
Okay.
So do you think this is a grilled onions book?
Yeah, it's got a little pizzazz into it. Like, yeah. It's something that I didn't not like reading.
Sure.
Because I've never read one before, right? And I asked him how long it was going to take me, because whatever, I didn't know how it was going to go. But like, once you start, it's fine, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have stopped and not picked it up again and wouldn't have wondered what happened.
That's fair.
But
I like that.
I didn't like, oh, I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to Google what happens.
Okay, cool.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
You definitely could have done that.
I definitely appreciate the work they put into it. I think I appreciate more the art in this one than the actual words, to be honest.
Sure.
Yeah, 100%.
And if these guys listen to this podcast, Do they do that? Okay,
probably
cool,
not.
Cool.
They'll retweet us, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He did one time, I think.
Yeah, because like artists, like just the drawing.
I'm not trying to be rude, because I know they put a lot of work into these things, yes, and I am not qualified to say, what comics are good or bad.
You know what? I think the fact that this is, if let's say Olivier Coipel mm-hmm. listens to this and he finds out that this is your first ever comic,
yeah,
that's a special thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But so, the amount of time that like the artist probably put into it, he probably put like 6 months working like Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And then the writer maybe like,
at least, because he's got to go weekend. Through like initial designs and
so
stuff.
So what do you
too.
Guys rate it then? In-N-Out style?
Using In-N-Out.
Okay. I would do
We're using my rating system because I'm the guest star.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do like a cheeseburger animal style. I would say like, yeah, just like a pink lemonade with that.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay, nice.
And you have to eat it like when you're at In-N-Out, like super fresh, you know?
Uh-huh.
Not like when you get home and it's like everything's soggy.
Maybe this is why you guys don't do like full food references.
It gets a little too deep.
Because now I want In-N-Out,
I think it
first
helps,
of all.
I think it helps great paint the idea. Context. Because if we were just like, I don't know, single patty, then that's just like, what, 2 out of 4?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. So because like when we do Cold Stone, be like, oh, it's a love it. Maybe some M&Ms in there, yeah. Some sprinkles.
Yeah.
It had a little something, but not enough to push it over the edge.
Cookie dough chunks.
Yeah. Like when we did Moon Knight, he's like a very white character,
mm-hmm.
like his white costume and stuff. So we were like cookies and cream with like some marshmallows on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was
whipped cream.
So your rating is a single patty?
Yeah.
Just
animal
the
cheeseburger
style.
Animal style.
I think I would go with that too. A single patty, but with animal style fries.
Because
I love those.
Yeah.
And I feel like just doing single patty sells this short a little bit.
Sure.
But I'm not a huge magic guy in general. So I think, but I did enjoy like the general storytelling. I like the twist and everything.
Yeah.
Art's top tier, like 100%. Definitely. This was the guy that could like sell this book
for sure.
Me.
Yeah.
So Olivier is the animal fries.
He's that extra.
He's an animal fries level artist. So
I did like it, and when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that was good stuff. But yeah. I don't think it's quite double double. You know,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Because double double is like I'm picking up the next trade or whatever, yeah. or like the shit that's out already. So
cool.
Anyway, good
that's
stuff.
Good. That's
good stuff.
So let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
Yes, sir.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Do, do you want to explain that name to Zara?
So
you just what?
So our
shove in your box.
Shove it in your box.
Okay.
So the subscription box is called the box.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we have books that we're subscribed to, they just throw them in there.
In your box.
Yeah, you throw it in your box, and so that's where we talk about the things that were shoved in our box.
Let's rewind. Who's shoving stuff in your box?
The comic Drew. Owners, Drew specifically.
Okay.
Because he orders stuff specifically for us.
Oh, okay.
And then sets
it aside.
It's just
like a little folder.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not even a box.
Yeah. They call it the box, but they also call it a pull list, or like add a book to your pull list,
Does this count when like somebody emails you guys and says you should read something? They're shoving it in your box?
If you say, yeah, save that for me, they'll put it in your box.
Okay.
So when you go in and be like, I'm number 43. And they'll be like, okay, here's all the books in 43.
I think she's talking about like Sam when he emailed.
Yeah,
us.
When somebody recommends something, so it's not the same. That's not the same.
No, this is like what
a
we picked up.
A recommendation is not the same.
This is what we picked up today.
Okay.
Since we record on Wednesdays, that's New Comic Book Day. Uh-huh. We talk about what we picked up.
Yeah, oh, that week. Like physical purchases.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and also stuff.
I made it way less cool.
In a way, it's very hypocritical of the podcast because Trade Raiders will wait until there's a trade like compiled, but we still pick up books individually every week. So
yeah.
But what'd you pick up this week, Daniel?
Nathan, I thought I wasn't even going to go to the shop this week.
Yeah, but then I saw you.
Then I saw you, and I'm like, I guess I'm going in.
Part of my pull list was picking up that shirt for you.
I appreciate it.
That's a thick bag.
Holy shit.
Hey, relax. Okay, so I was like, So I was like, I don't have anything to pick up, I don't think. And so I was like, I'm just going to get a trade in, buy a trade for my birthday. You know, a little gift to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
You know? I thought I'd look around, and then I asked him, like, hey, is there anything in my box? And he's like, oh yeah, I got this for you. We got the new Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips hardcover reckless book.
Dang.
It's called The Ghost in You.
That kind of
looks classic.
Yeah, they definitely do like the covers always look like kind of Western, old school kind of thing.
That's a premium pick.
Yeah. It also came with this little flyer thing. That's signed by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. You know,
shit.
Just another one of those, you know, just to
just
add.
Just one.
All right, you got to give it back, though.
No. That's so cool. I mean.
So they put it aside for me. I'm like, I guess they're deciding what I pick up because I really didn't know what I was going to pick up. So that's fun.
Ed Brubaker's signature is so funny.
Why?
It's just like a couple of squiggles and then a B.
Yeah.
Love that.
EB. So I got that.
So you picked up. That Image book?
Yeah, I picked up the Image number one, The History of Image. So that'd be fun.
I saw that. Didn't pick it up, though.
Yeah, turns out Batcat 11 came out.
Yep.
So I got that bad boy. I got Spider-Punk number one. Yeah, man. Is this a... I think they were delayed or something.
It was supposed to come out last week, I think. Yeah.
Ooh, Farmhand comes back.
Yeah.
Number 16.
I was thinking about that book like the other day.
I think about it a lot, honestly.
What happened?
And then I got Little Monsters number two because I didn't have it from last week.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
I got Batcat, I got Spider-Punk, and then I got Flashpoint Batman number zero.
Oh, did you get the Mitch Garrett's cover?
No.
Or is he
on
number one?
I think he's on number one.
Okay.
So, that's all I got. And then I didn't really read anything this week. All I read was Batman Killing Time, the Tom King one.
The second one?
Yeah.
Number two?
Yeah.
Did you
read the first one?
No.
It's like so confusing.
Is it?
Because every page is like a different time. It'll be like one day and it'll be like what Catwoman was doing. And then it'll be like a month earlier from that. It's like, here's what Catwoman was doing. And then it'll be like 3 years earlier. Here's what Batman was doing.
Right.
Like, and it's just that page to page. And it's so hard to follow. I think I get it. But I don't know if I'm going to keep going because it's just so confusing.
Okay.
So
then I might need to read that just to see where
I'm like at. The first one. If you like it, then keep going. But I'm not smart enough for that, so...
Okay.
Well, that's all I read, really.
Sarah, what did you watch this week?
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked.
What programs have you been watching?
I started a new program. Well, actually, I started two. So, at the beginning of the week, I started The Girl from Plainville.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a docuseries about that girl from Plainville.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's about that kid who committed suicide, but he had been texting his girlfriend and she basically talked him into it and was like, get back in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a docuseries on that and just kind of her and his relationship.
Wow.
But that's on Hulu and they only release episodes certain days of the week. It's not something they just fully release.
Dude,
so,
I was in the room when she was watching that. I'm like, this bitch is infuriating.
Yeah.
Because she's making it all about her. And she's such a bitch. Like, this actor is incredible because I hate her.
She looks just like her.
Really?
It's Elle Fanning. Huh? Dakota Fanning's little sister.
Oh, no
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's the actress in it.
Okay, so it's not like full documentary. There's like...
No, there's some dramatization, but it's based on that true story. Okay. There's another actual documentary on Hulu about it where they show her a whole court case.
Are you going to keep watching it?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it while you edit this tonight, because if I watch my other program... First of all, the second one is a docuseries also on... It's called The Dropout. Have you heard of it? It's about that company Theranos. No. And Elizabeth Holmes.
No.
So basically, Theranos was a company that you explain it, because I hate explaining stuff. Okay. To be honest.
Okay, not good at it either.
I'm not good at it.
When it's a long explanation, I give up. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So Elizabeth Holmes is this Harvard dropout.
It was Stanford.
Stanford dropout.
So you're already fucking it up.
who idolized Steve Jobs and shit like mm-hmm. that, and she had an idea for like this machine that tests your blood with just a drop of blood and be able to diagnose you with like any disease.
With just like one drop.
Yeah. That's and sick. So in order to fund this research, she was like faking all these results to show that this shit works. And she did it for like 15 years.
It was like 10.
That's unethical.
Don't be dramatic. She only faked results for 10 years.
Oh, okay, yeah. 10 years. And she just like...
They never had a working one.
She built this entire company around this shit. It was evaluated at like $10 billion.
They've gotten to Walgreens.
She got these machines into Walgreens that didn't work.
No way.
And it eventually got to the point where they were just stealing what this other machine did that actually worked.
The one that people use like forever when they take a whole vial of blood.
Her employees were like under all these like NDAs to where they can share like all these trade secrets and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
They kept the departments separate, so you couldn't talk to people in a different department.
That seems sketchy. Like if you're working at that company.
But they were like, oh, we have these trade secrets. We don't want people sharing these trade secrets or whatever.
Valid. She had this like dynamite board to where like everyone just believed in her. She got tons of investors and things like that. And like, it's insane.
That seems...
It's like it's eight episodes. We were just watching the last one until you got here.
Yeah. We're at the point where somebody finally like whistleblowed, and then the lab was investigated by a government entity. So it finally got shut down because they're like, this shit is fucked.
Yeah.
That's what it said on the report.
Call me crazy. That sounds unethical.
Yeah.
Yeah. They misdiagnosed people. They told someone their cancer was probably back.
Yeah.
Because they were diluting the blood and then testing it in the regular machine, which you're not supposed to test diluted blood in the first place.
Yeah.
But they just never had a working machine.
Yeah. It was like,
that's insane. Crazy.
And they were just like gaslighting people like this entire show. Be like, what are you talking about? When they're finally onto them. Yeah. And then like it finally came out because like this Wall Street Journal guy, like, got information, and then all these people who were his sources like had to
break their NDAs,
so they're like scared for their lives that they were gonna get like sued.
Yeah, but
to
they were all just like super affected because they started testing on real people and like giving them these results that weren't necessarily true.
That sounds
it's
sick.
Really good. Amanda Seyfried plays Elizabeth Holmes, and it's really good because if you watch videos of her, she like does this really fake deep voice, and it's terrifying.
She just like did this voice to, I guess she thought like she would be taken more seriously if she had like a deeper voice, not something so like light
girly
and feminine or something like that.
Like the actual person.
Yeah.
The actual person did voice. It too. Yeah. But that's then she cool. like shows her like transitioning and like practicing that voice.
Wow.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's like crazy.
It's crazy that that happened.
Yeah.
And it was not that long ago. It was like 2018, 2016, yeah, 2018.
Like, 2017 was like when her deposition was or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
jeez.
I think she's like on bail right now.
We're all on TikTok. We're adults here.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, there are Theranos TikToks where like ex-Theranos workers talk about how like it's hard for them to find other jobs because it looks like they were untruthful. Like when they were doing like the labs and shit, and they're like, we didn't know.
Yeah, that seems
they're
shitty.
Purposefully like changing all these results to make it seem like the shit was like accurate.
Only a few people like actually knew that the shit was fake, but people that worked at Theranos are having a hard time.
Because like at first, they were like, oh, our machine worked. And they go to like Pfizer.
Switzerland, yeah.
Pfizer or something to like get like funding, right? And like FDA approval. But then when they get there, like the machine stops working. They're like, what the fuck? It was working. And so they like start by like just sending fake results while they're in this meeting showing the demo.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, we're doing the right thing. We're going to save lives and stuff like that. And then it just like snowballs into them just lying about more and more because like the research and like the development is like years away. But they thought
and
they were justifying
it's just not possible.
That's wild. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it seems like that's a great idea, but
yeah,
if it's not realistic, it's not a good idea.
She took it to a professor at Stanford before she even dropped out, and they were like, this just isn't possible.
Yeah.
She wanted it to be like a watch at first.
That'd be sick.
That you could just wear and it would test your blood all the time.
Yeah.
And like administer medicine. And she's like, you can't just have like a lot of medicines just sitting there.
You can't just have a wearable.
At body temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Highly recommend. I didn't really like it at first. I'm like, I hate this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like anxiety because I just wanted things to work out because you were kind of rooting for her at first, you know? and then we were just like, she needs to be shut down.
We do laugh out loud like once an episode.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's not good because
it's like necessarily funny, but just because I think that she modeled after her so well, but the actual person.
Super cringe.
Like she's not a very emotional person. So she'll say things and you're like, that was robotic, but it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like the Zuck.
Yeah.
Like a lizard person.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie that had
with Mark Ruffalo?
No, it had Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it.
Also love that guy.
Snowden. Did you ever watch Snowden?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dude. So like Edward Snowden doesn't have like that deep of a voice, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt put on this super low voice and it's super weird. And then at the end of the movie, it shows the actual guy talking and his voice is not even close to that low. And it's so weird.
That's funny.
But anyway, did you watch anything else?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I did.
Did you watch today's Moon Knight?
I did watch today's Moon Knight. Actually, I am replaying Borderlands 2 with the boys.
Really?
The boys?
Is that a boys type of game? I thought that was like a story mode kind of thing.
It's a story mode co-op game.
Oh, cool.
It's perfect. It's like a 4-player thing. I think it can be 5, but that franchise is great. And we've played like pretty much all of them. There's a new one that just came out that we haven't played, but there's Borderlands 1, 2, 3, the pre-sequel. Which is it's supposed to be like a prequel, but they're like it's like a comedy game kind of. So
is it an in between cool?
No.
What do you mean a pre-sequel?
It's just a prequel. They just named it funny because it's like a funny game. They have like pretty good comedy in it, but it's just like a first person loot and shoot game. Mm-hmm. So you shoot people, they drop guns, whatever. And Borderlands 2 is like the best one. So we were like, we should play that shit again. Mm-hmm. And it's a good nostalgia game.
Love for nostalgia.
Sure. Yeah, shit's great.
Did you and Sophia watch The Ultimatum? I don't know if she watches like trash reality TV like I do.
She got recently very into Ink Master, the tattoo show.
I wouldn't really call that trashy reality TV.
No.
They like fight about stuff.
They fight. It feels very forced.
Have you seen The Ultimatum?
No.
Do you know the premise of The Ultimatum?
No.
Please explain.
Please explain.
So it's these couples, right? And they go on the show because one of them really wants to get married or have kids and the other one isn't ready to commit.
Is that the one with Steph Curry on it?
No.
There's a guy who kind of looks like Steph Curry, I guess.
Okay,
like
that's same, not... No. Okay.
Not the same height, but...
Okay, so one person wants to commit and one doesn't?
Yeah, one wants to get married right now and the other one doesn't. So they're like, this is an ultimatum. We're either going to get married and we're done.
That's unhealthy.
And then they go on the show, right? And so they're with their person the first night. And then after that, for the next 3 weeks, they're with another person on the show, a person of their choice.
They like mingle with the other groups.
Ooh. Yeah, for a couple of days to figure out who they're going to pick.
That's spicy.
Yeah. And so then they live with that person for 3 weeks, the person that they picked. And then after that, they go back to the person they came with and live with them for 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
And then at the end, they're like, so what are we doing here?
Wow.
It's crazy because like when they're with the new people, they like fuck.
Some of them.
That's messed. That's cheating.
It's not. It? They're broken up for those 3 weeks.
Oh, they had no.
They took a break. They're working on a relationship. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, if you get to that point, maybe you should just split up anyway. But yeah, a few of them do like stay with their original person. I just finished it today. It just came out. For some reason,
this did remind me. We were watching New Girl this week.
Nice.
Olivia Rodrigo's in an episode.
No, she's not.
But she's a little kid.
I was gonna say, she's old enough for that.
She's an actor, and was like not famous yet. And
how do you know?
Because Sophia, like, her ears perked up, and she's like, "That's Olivia Rodrigo," and I'm like, "That's a child." There's no way. And then I looked at her because I kind of know what she looks like, and I was like, "There's no way."
Whenever I see like a celebrity that I don't recognize, I'm like, "Oh, that's probably Olivia Rodrigo." And it ended up being them.
I better like, money.
All the granny pictures and stuff like that.
I lost money on this, Daniel.
Damn.
I was like, I bet you $10 right now. She's like, $5. I'm like, deal.
I thought she was just like a TikTok sensation.
That's
I didn't know.
I thought, dude.
I thought that's how she got famous, too.
I didn't know she was. She drank it. She came from money? From actor money?
She did a Drake.
She pulled a Drake? She pulled a Drizzy?
She pulled a Drizzy, yeah.
What was her role?
It's like in season six where Nick has the Pepperwood Chronicles out, mm-hmm. and she plays a kid that's at Jess's school who really loves the book, and they like, and Nick like talks with them about what the sequel's gonna be, mm-hmm. and Olivia Rodrigo's just like one of those kids.
Did she talk?
She had lines. She has a she has a couple of them. I don't know what her name is.
Was she a bad child actor?
Did she like the sequel idea? She was great.
Yeah, she was like giving him like sequel ideas. And Nick was like, that's good. I like that. So it was really funny, but I was surprised that Sophia like knew that. Because she'll like see like Morgan Freeman and be like, who is that guy? Oh. I've seen that guy. And I'll be like,
I've seen him somewhere.
I'll name all the movies like Shawshank or whatever. He's like, no.
I think that's the guy from A Dolphin's Tale.
Yeah, that's literally what she does. It's insane. That's why I love her for it, though, because it's just
this bizarre,
the most
movie
like
scenes.
Curveball movies that like I just wouldn't expect. Like she did the same thing with Jurassic Park, Thor, and Thor.
This is the guy who I thought we were talking about earlier.
No.
No, not him.
I know who he is.
And I don't know how I know him.
It's another bald white man.
No.
No, not.
What's his name?
Wallace Shawn. Sean Wallace, probably.
Okay.
Why am I spacing on his name? I space on one Wallace. Celebrity actor's name. Hold on.
I know him. He's like quirky and he's old.
He's the quirky old guy.
He's the grandmaster.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
How could you guys not remember Jeff Goldblum's name?
I swear to God.
Sometimes you just blank. You know?
Sometimes you do. But she like recognizes Jeff Goldblum, not from like all the stuff that he's done, but from a movie called Cats and Dogs from 2001.
Oh, dude, I
remember
loved
that
movie.
But she doesn't recognize him from like Jurassic Park or like Thor or like Independence Day.
Does she have? She has little sisters. I feel like she just, everything that she remembers people from are like kids movies.
Yeah,
mostly.
I know. Which is, it makes me laugh every time. But anyway,
it's funny.
I also, do you remember a trash reality TV show called I Survived a Japanese Game Show?
Yeah, yeah. I think about that sometimes.
There's like an episode in New Girl where Allie like was in a Japanese game show, and I was like, oh my god, it like unlocked a core memory, and I'm like, Sophia, have you seen this show?
Was good.
Yeah, it was good
because it was ridiculous,
and like the game shows that they did were insane. So I showed her like a couple of clips from that, and I'm like, the show's good.
Can you stream that anywhere?
I don't know. I just looked up clips on YouTube, but anyway,
not to change the subject, I found that movie I was talking about earlier. My Favorite Martian.
When did it come out?
It came out in 99.
Oh, no shot.
You know?
So he's the alien?
You know, now looking at this guy, I think he might have been the alien.
I'm not familiar.
You guys haven't, nobody I ever talked to has seen this movie.
That's okay. That happens sometimes.
No, but it's real good.
Okay, maybe we'll revisit it.
You guys should watch it and then talk about it on the podcast next week.
Okay.
I'm not going to watch it with you. But...
Right. All right. So we're going to talk about Moon Knight now. Do you want to, be here for that?
No, I think that I've stayed my leave. I just looked up. I was like, it's been an hour and a half and you want to talk about something else?
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, everybody.
Good guests.
Thanks
for being here. Appreciate it.
I'll leave this book for you.
Okay. I'll put it on the book.
Do you want me to turn this off?
No, you leave that.
I can turn it
off. Okay. That's where it works, too.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. No, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you're good. Alrighty. Dude, walk. Why don't you walk around the fan? Yeah, you have to turn it back on because you unplugged it.
You thought about that for like 5 seconds.
You have to
and
press
then
the button. Because I've done it before.
You thought about
press
that
the
for
top
like,
one and then the bottom one.
You thought about the best approach for like 5 seconds and it still didn't work.
Babe, press the bottom one. The bottom button. Thank you.
Bye, guys. All right, thank you. Bye.
Don't let the dogs in. Oh, there's the dogs. Okay.
Moon Knight, Daniel.
Moon Knight. All right, I caught up.
So you watched the second episode, which
I didn't
fun.
Catch the fuck either.
No fucks.
Yeah. I thought I heard, I started looking for it in episode 3. I'm like, where did I miss this?
There's zero fucks, yeah.
So, yeah, he gets arrested by somebody. He meets Layla, things like that. We find out what Harrow's trying to do. He's trying to resurrect Amit.
And he's like also been an avatar of Khonshu as well, which is interesting.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun. And he's like, that dude's a fucking child. And Country's like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, this dude is a child. But anyway.
Yeah.
Solid episode. But episode 3, we're like in Egypt. Looks great.
Yeah, definitely. Wait, hold on. On episode 2.
Mr. Knight.
Does he just, what are the things that he pulls out? The
crescent darts.
The crescent. Does he just have unlimited crescent darts?
I think so.
Because he just pulls them from his chest.
It seems like.
I'm like, come on.
It's kind of like the Robin thing. Like, Robin has, like, batarangs that are just, like, an R, and it's just, like, on his chest.
True.
But, like, I think
those
in this.
Be loaded in, I
think. In this sense, like, shit, like, bandages, like, come out. It's just, like, you get crescent darts, too.
Okay.
And then when, like, I like that Stephen Grant, like, it seems like his Moon Knight thing is just the Mr. Knight one, and that's easy to tell. Like,
yeah, he has like his own suit, like who's in control.
Like,
kind
Mark
of thing.
Spector has the traditional Moon Knight suit, and then Stephen Grant has like the Mr. Knight suit.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that because that's not really like a thing in the comics because he'll use a different suit depending on what he's going to do.
I think it's easier than just having like all these suits and personalities and things like that.
Yeah, but Oscar Isaac's been killing it, dude.
Yeah, he's great when he just like switches on and off.
And I just believe that he's been British or American like for his whole life.
Yeah, I'm like yeah, you're British.
Just, he just nails it. It's awesome.
Yeah, big fan. So we find out the scarab like points to Ahmed's tomb, I guess. But then it doesn't.
What? Yeah, what was that? Because like they go to a dig spot.
And then they dig, and then they figure out that's not how they find it. They're like, oh, we need to find Senfu's
corpse.
Tomb or something like that. And then they'll... Yeah,
I didn't get that. There's a lot of like, I love all the Egyptian stuff, but it's like a little bit hard to follow. But I'm like still here for it, you know. I'm like embracing all of it.
Yeah, I like the bit in the pyramid. Where there's like this trial, and then all the avatars are there. That was cool.
Sick. I like how Moon or Khonshu's like, we only got one chance at this. Like, don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then immediately he goes in, and Khonshu's like yelling at them, and he's like, he did it. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, give some evidence. They seem like reasonable people.
I was about to say, I'm like, just follow them. They're at the dig site. And then it turns out none of the gods know where Ahmet is either.
Yeah, it seems like they're gods like Thor almost. Like they don't see, they're not all seeing and see everything.
Yeah, no.
I think they're just kind of doing their own thing and then come together.
For sure.
But yeah.
I kind of just like looking at Khonshu most of the time.
Yeah, he's super
fun. He looks so good.
I like when he turns his big old head.
And I know.
I keep
looking at like how it like floats.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a neck.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Can't wait for a Khonshu toy to come out.
Oh, dude.
Gonna
so
buy
good.
That shit so fast.
Did you see that Mr. Knight Marvel Legends toy?
Yeah, I sent that to you. I don't know if you saw it.
I did, yeah.
Did you see it from me?
No. Oh, I knew about it before. From Declan Shelby.
Ooh, true.
It seems like Mark Spector and Stephen Grant are working together a little bit better now.
Yeah.
Even though there's
they
like
kind of need each other.
There's a bit of resistance there from Mark, but it's cool that Mark's there to do some fighting stuff, and then Stephen's there to do like the nerd shit.
Yeah, it's good that he's not like completely useless.
Yeah, I like that dynamic a lot.
There's some bit where Khonshu like turn back the stars to that night so that they can find Senfu's grave or something.
Just super illegal.
And then it works for like everyone else could see it too.
If I saw that, I would kill myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
I'm
the
like,
scariest thing I've ever seen.
I'm like, we're absolutely
don't
in
just
a-
swipe the universe like it's an iPad.
Yeah, like you're just trying to like get to something you saw a minute
They're like,
ago.
Oh, let's go back 1,000 years.
Like, I would think that the world was ending because it was like on some top or something. And it was gonna explode.
I imagine so many people threw up because it's like, are we moving really fast or is the universe moving
fast? I would
fast?
Throw up and then kill myself.
I would. That would just be so scary, dude. Like,
yeah.
Like, I know we've talked about it before, but that one video where it's like, if Saturn was as close to us as the moon was,
terrifying.
I would throw up and kill myself, dude.
We just wake up and Saturn's outside,
dude. Yeah,
jumping off my out my house.
The outside universe scares me so much when it's like that. You know, it's just freaky.
Yeah,
dude.
Did you ever watch that video on YouTube called like the Known Universe?
I don't think so.
So it like starts off like I don't know in New York or something, and then just like backs up.
Oh, I've seen videos like that though.
And then it literally goes to like everything that's been mapped out, and then it's just like nothing.
Yeah,
and like. It shows like how far everything is and shit like that.
Shows how far nothing is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
So that makes me uncomfy.
Yeah. I don't like that. There's a point where Moon Knight gets like stabbed like 3 or 4 times.
With like fucking
like
spears.
What are they called? Jousts?
Javelins?
Javelins. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like it doesn't seem to hurt Mark Spector that much. So I wonder how that works. But also when he like gets out of it, he does like one spin and like all of them are out. And I'm like, what happened there?
So like the suit like heals him. That Khonshu says that.
Okay, that's cool.
And so I'm like, oh, that's kind of plot armor. But
that's lame. Yeah.
Yeah. And that they weren't bloody or anything like that. So they're staying pretty Marvel about it.
The action is like a little clunky.
I'm starting to like not even look forward to it. Like even when there is action, I'm like, I just want to see what happens after this. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It just looks, yeah, it's like probably the Marvel thing where the action, I'm just like, whatever. Like I'm genuinely more interested in like when Oscar Isaac's like talking to himself, when Mark Spector's like talking to himself.
It was cool seeing Oscar Isaac fight, like when it was just him.
That was cool.
That was cool to see.
Yeah. There's so many shiny things in London or in Egypt. Like Definitely. That dude's knife, when he's like talking to Stephen
Grant,
they, and the
they
knife.
They like purposely make things like flat and shiny so you yeah. can see your reflection
or, like,
in it.
In the Egyptian tomb, there's no shiny shit in there.
No.
There's no reflective shit. It's all stone. But they're like, we need to have Stephen talk.
Yeah, there's just some random piece of like glass or something on the street that you could see himself in.
Yeah.
But
I feel like they have done a good job at like navigating that. And they like put him in situations where there is a reflection. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. The so Khonshu like is imprisoned because like of the star shit that he did.
It turned him into a Pez.
Yeah, a little Pez head. and then there's like a third personality that's taking over to where like none of them knows what's happening when he takes over. I don't know.
That's cool.
I think he's killing people. So
yeah, I don't know what
is
kind
that
of
the Jake guy or whatever.
I think that's gonna be Jake Lockley. I just don't know what role he's gonna fill. I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe he's always just been unbeknownst to Khonshu, and so now that they don't have Khonshu, it'll be like Jake Lockley that has to like step in or something.
Maybe.
What accent do you think he's gonna have?
German.
I'm going for Boston.
Boston.
Something like
that. Hey, sweetheart. something like that.
Bears.
Butter.
Like a New Yorker. A New York accent. That'd be fun.
Bears.
Can you imagine? But yeah, it seems like that'll be probably Jake Lockley. I just don't know why. So I'm excited to see how that happens.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. If he has a different Moon Knight costume, if that's a thing, you know, if Jake Lockley has his own suit, that'd be cool.
Maybe. I mean, we basically got him all right. It's just the two, really.
Well, I think you could still go like, you know, the other like Declan Shelby one where it's like there's a lot of black and a lot of it's consistent of like crescents.
That'd be really sick.
I would love that.
If there was like an origin story to that.
And I don't think that's going to happen, but that'd be sick.
It'd be pretty cool.
It'd be cool if each of his like identities had like their own costume.
Yeah.
So
I guess we'll see.
We will see, but I'm liking it.
There was a fight scene in the second one where it's the Mr. Knight suit and then he rolls up the sleeves.
Yeah, I love
that.
I'm like,
let's go, baby.
I'm like, let's go. And he takes out the batons and I'm like, he's going to shoot a dart thing out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
I forgot about the batons.
Yeah.
He's like, what are these poles?
That's cool.
And then there's like a little bit where they're saying that Mark Spector like killed like Lilith's dad in order to get the scarab. Did you pick up on that?
No. Okay. It's fucked.
Yeah, yeah. So that the scarab, because like her dad was like a archaeologist and found the scarab. And so I think that what they're hinting at, and that's what like Hera was like saying to her, is like what he really did or whatever, is that Mark Spector like had to like kill her dad in order to get the scarab.
Oh, it's messed up. I like Layla in this. She's like very resourceful.
She's like my favorite character probably.
Yeah, she's resourceful and like reasonable and just like, she's like, just tell me. Like, I'm in the sauce now. Like, just tell me what's going on.
It was a little crazy to me that she just happened to have this connection who had exactly the thing that they needed in order to get to the next thing, you know? They had, like, the tomb of Senfu.
But she, like, grew up in Egypt, I think.
Did she?
I think.
Maybe.
Because I think she came to America because she got, like, banished or whatever from Egypt. Like, she clearly has a history in Egypt.
And there's nothing in this show that's in America.
Sorry, in London.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping me honest there. But yeah, she had like had to make a fake passport to get back in because she's like not supposed to be in Egypt or something.
Oh.
But
gotcha.
So I believe that. I think that dude in the red that was showing his chest or whatever, he's got the funky beard. I think that's a Moon Knight character, but he might be dead now. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was ambiguous because he threw like a dart, the moonerang at him.
He's probably like paralyzed or something now. But
yeah, like hit him in the back.
Yeah. Layla's like shooting guns, you know, helping out Moon Knight.
Dude, like no one else laughed at this, but like when she like beat up like the black security guard and like goes and picks up his gun, she like turns around and just shoots one guy. It's like pah, and then he falls, and that was just like the scene.
Oh yeah,
and then they move on. Like, I thought she's gonna go apeshit and knock out like five dudes. Yeah,
he's on a big horse. She's like, I gotta stop.
There's like a delay, and it's just like
So you gotta make sure it hits him, you know? Who knows how many bullets are in that gun?
I don't know. It's just like the editing seemed odd on that part. Or they could have added a couple more shots in there.
That's funny.
But anyway, good show. I like it.
Good show. We're already halfway through.
Jolly good show. Oh, yeah. It's only six, huh? I was thinking about that. What are we gonna read next week? Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
That's a good question.
I'm glad you asked. I have a great idea.
What is that?
Nathan, you know what this weekend is?
There's that new like Harry Potter movie that comes out.
We already did a magic book, Nathan.
Yeah, no, that's why we read this book, actually.
Yeah, definitely. No, Nathan, it's Easter Sunday. You know what comic we can read that celebrates rabbits?
Usagi Yojimbo?
That's a good idea, too. Okay, I was thinking of Captain Carrot.
Oh, my. Is there a trade?
There's University. Or, no, Multiversity? Multiversity, yeah.
I don't want to read Multiversity.
Right, you don't like some Grant Morrison
it's
shit?
Big and confusing Grant Morrison.
Captain Carrot.
Frank Quietly.
Frank Quietly?
Yeah.
On Captain Carrot book?
No, on Multiversity.
Oh.
But.
Dude, that'd be good.
I don't know.
How long is it?
Probably long.
I think it's like 12 issues.
Is there any Captain Carrot and his Amazing Zoo Crew trades? I will read that. Dude, there's five or six issues of Captain Carrot and his Amazing Zoo Crew, but it was never collected.
Oh, no back matter. Yeah, dude, Multiverse is like 450 pages.
Yeah, and I'm not into that.
Oh, Jim Lee's on it. Ivan Reese?
A lot of good people. Just no thank you.
How about Usagi Yojimbo then?
That's a good idea.
We don't have to do a bunny themed book, if you know what.
I think we should.
But yeah, okay.
I mean, we were always going to get to Usagi eventually.
I looked.
So now we read a Usagi trade every Easter.
I like that. Okay. This shit's like really complicated, like because of the publishing history.
Yeah, it's like a Hellboy.
So I think the first one is Usagi Yojimbo Volume 1. It's called The Ronin. So I think this is the black and white one. You can read for free. 152 pages.
Hey, there's no preview fucking pages in Comixology anymore.
You can download a sample, Nathan.
Oh, just let me see it.
Hold on one sec. Let me like Google this real quick because I don't want to be wrong. Do you want to read the black and white one? Because they do have like the colored versions.
I'm down for a colored version, yeah.
Okay, colored classics.
Is it not just...
in color.
All right, Usagi Yojimbo.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm so stoked.
I don't even know if I'm going to like it. I just know it's like huge for
it's
some reason.
It's like a classic, and you got to start at the beginning. I didn't want to read the Ronin because like I wanted to see like a story, you know?
Yeah.
And then this could potentially start our, you know, addiction to Usagi Yojimbo. Because look at this like publication history. It's like Fantagraphics for a long time, then Dark Horse for like a while. And then it like changes again, and then it changes to IDW like in the last like couple years. So wow. Volume 4 has been IDW.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then these saga ones, like there's a ton of those. Those are real thick, and then collect like trades all together. And this special edition one is impossible to find, or it's like $100-$200. Because it's like collects the first seven trades.
I want to read Usagi Yojimbo / Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That sounds sick.
We'll get to that. And right, cool. That's a long ways away. We got some work to do. This is now a Usagi Yojimbo podcast. Sorry.
This is, we're going to read every single Usagi Yojimbo until
Dude,
we go insane.
Space Usagi? That'd be fucking cool.
Oh my God, that sounds sick.
Attack of the Hibi Chibis?
Chibi Usagi?
Chibi Usagi?
Do you know what a chibi is?
I think so.
It's like an art style, but it's like cute and they're like small and have big eyes or whatever.
I guess I don't then. Cool, Nathan.
So we'll do that. Thank you everybody for listening.
Usagi Yojimbo, Samurai, Book 2. We're doing the Color Classics,
for
which
Easter.
Is Volume 1. For Easter.
But it'll come out after Easter, but that's fine.
I'm so excited. Email us. Tell us what to read at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at tradewaiterspod, on TikTok at tradewaiters. And you can find our Twitters on Twitter.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sarah, for joining as well.
Thanks, Sarah. She doesn't do social media, so we're not going to plug her shit.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Peace.